What's up, y'all? I'd like to welcome you to episode 13 now of Talking Married Life and Bank Trapping. And I am the Bank Trapper.
And I'm Fatima the Banker.
And what we got are life lessons that we've learned over the course of the last about kind of like 2 years, honestly, just with starting a business together as a family and just some really important lessons on a personal note that I feel good that I had to learn, but at the same time, like, dang, that was stupid. And so one of the first ones I'd like to talk about is that when we first started getting into this.
Into what?
Into private and sovereign and infinite banking. So I guess talk about even that part. So as far as the insurance reserve portion on that side of what we do, that concept was created by, as far as you know, the first known creator is Nelson Nash. Very important guy. Definitely should read his books. And it'll help you understand this system and this way of thinking. We came across a business that was saying that they're involved in infinite banking and private banking. The head business owner read Nelson Nash's book, and he was already previously an insurance agent. And he started using the system for himself as he read it in the book. And the book does give you a lot of information, and it's very, very helpful. But there's a lot more to understanding the concept than just that one book. And so one of the big things that he personally pushed that wasn't really in the book, but you could kind of, I don't know what would be that word to say that, you know, like you kind of take something from, you know, loose reference. Yeah, kind of like a loose reference in a say, loose lesson is, you know, all debt is bad, right?
And he pretty much just made it his own. Like he took the concept, implemented it, and changed some of the things that he wanted changed. Just based off of previous experiences that he's had with dealing with clients. That's what he based that off of. So that,
and his own personal life, the different things he was going through. And so when I first started learning finances, the way I learned about it was everything I've learned has been self-education or mentorship that I sought out and got for myself from people that I saw had value. And so I started learning about consumer style of credit. And I always understood the power of credit and what it can do for your life, how important it is. And because I never messed up my credit personally, I was able to get credit, good credit, easy. And then when it did get messed up, it was very small, and it was because I ended up being locked up and I didn't have anybody to pay the remaining balance on my one of my credit cards. And also too, one of my cars wasn't fully paid off. And so once I got back out, I knocked those out, and I got my credit score back in the high 700s right away. And so once the pandemic hit, we were going through all kind of crazy different struggles with trying to start our business. The first part of our business, the way we started out, was as a kennel, breeding Dogo Argentinos, which we still do. And so when coming across them in our situation at the time, we were having to lean on our credit to survive at this time. And so with their methodology and learning this new concept, they were like, hey man, fuck credit, you don't need it, you know, they owe you this, this, that, and the third, this system eliminates the need for credit, blase, skip, and the third. And I knew there was holes in my game, and what I did is I said, you know what? I know I haven't done everything entirely right. Let me try somebody else's system to see what I can get, because, you know, their results are obviously much more impactful and closer toward what I wanted. But that was a huge mistake. First part of that mistake is I didn't trust myself, because I know that I understand finances. I've always understood finances. And there's always more you can learn, but that doesn't mean that what you know is wrong if you're getting good results from it. Mm-hmm. And two, trusting too much.
Yeah, we had that bad.
Mm-hmm. And because one of the reasons why that was an issue for me, there's a few lessons in this whole situation here, is that because I've always had a high level of skepticism of people anyway, just because growing up gang banging and dope dealing, I always felt everybody had an angle, everybody was out for something, everybody wanted something. I didn't trust anybody or anything moving really. And so I was wanting to break away from that mentality. And I realized that I just had too much skepticism, and that there is a healthy level of skepticism. Mm-hmm. And so not having healthy skepticism and safeguards in place put me in a position to where I messed up my credit, my wife's credit as well. And so understanding the importance of credit and how big credit is and how much it can make your life easier, allow you to leverage and scale so much better. As long as you have proper understanding of what your ratios are, you have good reserves, and you understand how to use credit in a business way by purchasing assets and not liabilities, and cash flowing assets are much higher up on that. Credit is actually very, very, very good, because, you know, they don't talk about, you know, most people, even now, like as bringing it up, you know, it's the talk about, you know, getting cars or whatever and this and that, but that's not really just what credit is for. It affects where you live, where you can work, what your interest rates are.
The levels of business you can even work on.
Access to credit unions versus banks. Just so many different things that, you know, you can't escape credit unless you're living a 100% cash-based anonymous life. And in most situations, unless you come from a family that has already infinite stores, warehouses of wealth put away.
But they also use credit to get that.
Which they also use, and they have credit already, you know. They got CPNs that's been established to pass down.
Trust,
all kind of different stuff already passed down. So they're still using credit as well. It's debt is the kind of economy that we're in. And so it's almost as if you're trying to like live in the wilderness when you don't use credit, you know, like credit's also like a privilege of upper class societies. Like a lot of unbanked and underbanked people have no access to credit whatsoever.
But like, if you look at, because credit is important in a sense as well, because how we said the different levels of business that you can do, a lot of businesses that you go and you want to not even finance something. Maybe you do want to finance something and you pay cash, or you're going to, you know, do business with cash. A lot of the times they still want to at least see how trustworthy you are. So they'll use your credit for that.
And so, you know, a lot of people who are in the business world talk about, oh, you know, your credit score, they gamify it and all this different stuff. And they do. But that's a part of just the world in general. And regardless of if they're gamifying it, it's up to you to not fall for the consumer tactics and use it the way it's meant to be used. And just the fact that a lot of times, like even with dating, you should ask the person you're dating what their credit score is, because that really does say a lot about a person. Mm-hmm. And I've always paid my debts all the way up, and we're paying them back now. And we've knocked out over $160,000 worth of debt.
That's what we're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah, which, you know, one of the things we're going to talk about. So we'll talk more about that later. But it's... integral to, because it's like I looked at it for me from a street perspective and always understanding the trust factor and understanding that like credit is even how a lot of the ways, you know, it's called, they in the streets, we don't call it credit though, we call it front. And a front is like if you find a really good connect and you have a good reputation, they'll give you a whole lot more dope than what you came for in cash, and sometimes not at all. And so same principles. But if there was like a street credit score system that would show you like, hey, you know, this dude is never ratted on nobody, whoop-de-whoop, this and that, like we would flock to that. And in the legal world, you have that. Like, hey, you know, this dude protects his wealth and his health, and you know, their credit scores, this, and it really does reflect a lot on people. Like people who usually have really bad credit scores, there's usually something wrong for real. Mm-hmm. And it's not in all cases, because there's some people who just like, by the time they learned, it made more sense to develop business credit or to utilize a CPN. But even then, they still have a credit score. It just might not be directly tied to them, but they control it.
And so kind of let's talk about what you just said, our experience, like somebody might have bad credit, there might something be wrong with them or not. And so with our experiences with money, I guess, how was your experience? And I'll talk about mine. Like,
with, as far as-
Oh, actually, you already talked about your experience.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my experience, anyways, so my experience is that I had bad credit. So when me and Elijah, Bank Trapper, when we got together, I was still a teenager. So I was 17. And prior to that, my mom, she didn't, like I said before, she didn't have any financial literacy. She only budgeted to pay her bills. And after that, she spent every penny she had pretty much. And then once me and Bank Trapper met, he was teaching me some of the financial stuff that he knew, which was opening checking account and, you know, saving money, things like that. Like budgeting, because he actually did budget and things like that. But once he went to prison, that was like I only had a few months of that experience of like actually dealing with a large sum of money, or like cash, like in a checking account, all that. He also helped me get my driver's license, taught me how to drive and things like that. But once he went to prison, I had this money, And I knew what to do with it. You know, I'd have to make a stretch to take care of me and Noah. And moved to Oklahoma. And once I moved to Oklahoma, in between those two, like, I didn't know how to put that money to work. So I'd buy stuff. I still wasn't like splurging just yet or anything, just because I knew that I needed that money to take care of me and Noah, and we didn't have a place to really call our own. And so after moving to Oklahoma, I had gotten my own apartment, my first apartment, and it was income-based. And so I had gotten the job at a bank, and the pay there was like only, it was like $8. It was over $8, it was almost $9 an hour. And that wasn't really much, but it was still some income just because I was still living in an income-based apartment complex. So my rent was only like maybe a few hundred dollars. And with electricity, it was only me and Noah. So my electricity wasn't really much either. Didn't have to pay water or anything. But a little bit after starting working at the bank, I was around, you know, financial products and things like that. I was like, okay, well, there's such thing as credit. And so I had started trying to build my credit because I didn't have any credit. And I got my first credit card with Capital One. And then after that, I would hear some of the coworkers talking about how they were able to get like credit cards and loans and stuff like that for without even paying off. They just had applied for an increase of their line of their credit, and so they would max them out and then request for it to be increased. And so I kind of was like, well, I don't have enough money to take care of me and my son, so maybe that's something that I could try. And so that's, you know, where everything went wrong for me. And so when we moved to Texas, it actually was really good because then now Elijah, Bank Trapper, he started teaching me how to budget, like actually budget, like write down all our expenses, how much income we had, seeing what our cash flow is, and started actually repairing our credit with what little bit of money we did have, which, you know, along that first year, it helped out a lot because I didn't really have a lot on our credit, even though I was, you know, irresponsible. It still wasn't like thousands and thousands of dollars. But fast forward to 2020, it was really hard for me to get into the private banking, sovereign banking, you know, get like the financial world fully, just because I still didn't really have much experience with handling money and credit and things like that. And prior to that year before, when we were planning on purchasing our first home, whatever my husband said, I would do pretty much because I didn't know. And I kind of was to the point where I was checked out and I wanted to know, but I didn't want to know. As long as I could live, shop, eat, breathe, take care of the family, then I was good.
And so for me, finances has always been important since I can remember. And I was actually getting ready to buy us a house right before I got indicted. And at the time I was 23 when I was looking at this house and going through different houses and looking at stuff. And then I wanted to get, you know, a really, really good deal. And so before I found the house, actually I had found a house finally. And as we were, you know, getting everything done and going through the negotiation process and stuff, I ended up getting indicted. So came home, like she said, and then we went down to Texas and
came down to Texas. We're still in Texas.
Well, yeah, still in Texas. And so when we first came home or down here, we were living off of just one income, and it was mine. And I was making like $10 an hour at a little coffee factory, getting burns up and down my arms and stuff like that from working on the machines. And the three of us were in there in this one bedroom apartment, you know, while paying off our debt and stuff. And like, it's hard, but we were able to still take care of three people off of $10 an hour. And went from that within a year to getting our first dog for our business and buying a home and upgrading continuously, better living places, and then, you know, buying a house 100% legit, no funniness, anything at all, because I knew that was one thing I knew that. I was all out of strikes, and so it wasn't worth it. And then I could just also tell I wasn't one of those people that were gonna, you know, that fairy tale lottery hit, you know, able to get in and get out. I knew that wasn't for me. I don't get anything easy, and if I try to take the easy way, I get it even harder. And so while during that period when she was having to heal from her personal traumas that she had went through that was caused due to my incarceration and all those things that happened, a lot of stuff I had to figure out on my own. And so giving all that backstory for me, you know, like I know the system, how it works, how it can be used and things that can get. And it made our lives a whole lot easier. And then, so as I started learning about business credit and stuff like that, we ended up, you know, getting approved for business credit cards and different things like that, and actually moving into the business end of credit. But right as this happened and we started deepening our understanding of that, that's when the stuff I had mentioned before happened, or not too long after happened, with, you know, running into this other company, them, you know, saying that, you know, you don't need that, that's, you know, all this trap and stuff, but had already vastly improved our lives. And so, you know, again, like I said, you know, those different lessons that came out of that situation. And then now, you know, as we have grown to experience it now, work together as you see us now, it put us into a position to where, like I mentioned earlier, you know, we had roughly around $200,000 in bad debt, and we've cleared over $160,000, and we got around like $30,000 left, and we should be able to have that knocked out here shortly.
Before the end of this year.
For sure, before the end of the year. And like, it feels really good to be back in that position. Just also too, like, even when I was learning that stuff, when they're like, man, don't pay that back, it felt wrong.
Yeah.
Felt very wrong. It was like, you know, but now just understanding and really being able to see all of those things. Two, also what was crazier is like, even though they don't admit to using credit, after being on the inside more and seeing what they do, they do use it. And so that burned me up even more, because it's like, you know, you're pushing the system that you actually don't personally go through. Even when it came to understanding private banking and stuff, they took the most shallowest part of the concept and used it. Maybe they're having, you know, some success with it, monetary success, but they don't actually really understand the concept and how deep down the rabbit hole you can get with that thing, especially when you merge crypto like we started doing.
They're teaching private banking to a consumer. And they'll say business as well, but it's really not like all of the things that we had to learn with having our business own our policy, be the beneficiary of our policy, and all, you know, that part. A lot of people didn't even know that. They didn't even know that. And it's just kind of one of the things that we had to learn ourselves. And the fact that credit, it was the credit game was built for to help businesses. And so when you get into credit as a consumer, it's a lot more.
My bad, let me interrupt you real quick. So speaking right of that as a business, when she was trying to register with a really good insurance company, they denied her because of the credit at the time.
Yeah.
And actually need to apply back for them now that we made some of them improvements and stuff to
show that we have payment. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this company was really good, and now we can't offer that service to our clients with them because of our personal credit at the time.
That was after we had F debt, F credit. Okay, let's let this go. But then we became insurance agents with this company that told us these things and then was denied a contract because of the credit.
Mm-hmm. And now it's just more of like, there really is a difference between good debt and bad debt. Mm-hmm. And we'll save that for another episode, talking more about the, because we're going to talk about those things because they tie into the sovereign banking practice and understanding, you know, how to use that and moving into consumer commercial codes and different things like that. What was another lesson that you would like to talk about before we wrap up? Because I know we're going to do a little bit of a shorter episode today.
Another lesson, another financial lesson.
It doesn't got to be necessarily financial in the sense of like credit, but just that, because you know, your life is a business. So what's another lesson you've learned about just treating your life as a business, or it can be, you know, money?
Well, want to hit back on when you said the trusting ourselves. Mm-hmm. So one of the lessons that I've learned was trusting myself when it came to making decisions for the business, but also trusting myself.
Or why you think of it, I'll say one. This will be my last one for me before we get up out of here. But go ahead.
Okay, it came back, y'all. Sorry. Okay, trusting myself. Okay, so how we talked about trusting ourselves, and then how when you're building your business, you should work while you build your business until you have your reserves and things like that built up to where it needs to be for you to even fire your job. Well, one of the things that I've learned is that having a job, it can be very stressful, but if you actually think positive, think about why are you doing this, and also have a plan to get out of there. Because one of the things that we had learned was, okay, well, you're in this, well, you need to have a plan to get out of it so you can continue to put that work in energy into your business. And so that's one of the things, mindsets that I've changed, and a lesson that I've learned is just, you know, changing my attitude towards working this job and seeing the past few months too, how we've we have the three incomes, not just from the business and from my husband and from my sister-in-law working, but from the business. Well, I guess that's four incomes. The business, me work, going back to work, my husband, and Mike. With all of us working, we've seen a lot of like increased changes of things being able to go a lot faster, because we've knocked out a lot of debt, but we were also able to knock out a lot more of our personal goals and things for the business and things like that the past few months, but just by having that extra income.
And so one of the biggest ones for me too is like not allowing myself to stop learning about concepts. And so once I want to use a concept, I educate myself as much as I can with reliable sources. And I even check out some of the ones that might not be quite as reliable, and just use my own discernment because of trusting myself and seeing if there's any validity there and seeing how much I'm willing to test. But, you know, one of the things that is important to this system is understanding, see this book here, this is The Creature
of Jekyll, from Jekyll Island.
The Creature from Jekyll Island, you know.
It's the light.
Yeah, sorry about that, y'all. and so it's a second look at the Federal Reserve. And
by Edward Griffin.
By Edward Griffin. Definitely recommend you get this book. When we bought that book, it's already gone up almost triple in the price. And that's another thing too, you know, these books are investments, not only for your mind, but if the book really does have true value, that value does reflect in the cost of the book over time. And so that allowed me to really see what kind of system we're in, what do they do, what are the controls, what are the nudges that they're trying to do, how they want us to behave, and different things like that. And the history, you know, history is so important, and people think you can't use history, but understanding the history of the Federal Reserve and how it's been used, why they do what they do, the families involved in
that. Still the same system.
Still the same system. And it's made it to where now we can see explosive growth in what we're doing from understanding that. And if we didn't have an understanding of the history, we wouldn't have gone and understand things as well. And so another book is this Tax-Free Wealth. And this is by Tom Wheelwright. And so that was, I wish, one of the very first books I ever read, because it talks basically, it's, even though it's a tax book, it's actually a tax strategy book, and everything you need, strategies and plans. Mm-hmm. And it talks about pretty much building a business from the ground up and understanding it from a tax perspective to really help you. So the reason why taxes is important, and I'm gonna give you an example of how devastating taxes can be if you don't understand them. And so Odell Beckham Jr., football player for those who don't know, got his salary, $750,000, all in Bitcoin. The tax in California is 50% for those kinds of wages. So he was going to have to give half of $750,000 up just to taxes alone. The price of Bitcoin, is hovering around, you know, 30 something thousand right now. Probably right now it's probably about 37. It ranges in its movements between 32 and 37 right now from the time of this recording. And so after taxes and his unrealized loss, he only made $35,000. There's people in California working at Burger King that are getting paid as much as Odell Beckham Jr. right now. Some places more.
But one of the things that you should mention about the unrealized loss is not actually a loss unless he takes his money out.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's when it's actually realized. So if he doesn't take his money out and he leaves it there, then that his money will go back up when Bitcoin goes back up.
It's just who knows when that might be. We can, you know, use analysis and stuff, and you know, there's a good chance that it will be this year. And then he can realize profit. But let's say that, you know, because of the different things that the Fed is doing to go after stable coins and stuff like that, and some of the key levels, we're probably going to see Bitcoin go down to around 28,000, you know. And so let's say he panics and he does sell. He basically, for, you know, a year's worth of taking damage and then living hard and stuff, signed a contract for pretty much nothing. And also giving away a very powerful asset. And that shows on his end, he probably didn't educate himself very well. Obviously, we'll be like, oh, he did a great thing, you know, when Bitcoin goes back up and stuff. But it also depends on what he does, as well as what was his tax strategy and how is he dealing with that to fix it on that end too. But just an understanding of like, hey, you know, this dude is looking at a $35,000 salary for playing football because he didn't understand taxes. And so another one, and this will be the last one I share, and this one has gone up in value as well, is how money works.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, it's green. That's why. Yeah, I guess it's green. But if you look up how money works, DK got a pig on the front and stuff. Gives you the history of money, understanding the difference between fiat and actual real sound money.
History, a little bit of history of money. And
inflation. And so those allowed me to not stay trapped in listening to a guru. And after educating myself, paying attention, pondering, thinking, sitting back, then doing, because, you know, it doesn't matter how much you think about it or how much you learn. If you don't take actions, it doesn't matter. I was able to break the spell of that and get back right. Because it's not that I couldn't necessarily have found success using their system, but it definitely wouldn't get me the results that I personally wanted. And so that continued a self-education in whatever it is that you're going in really does make a difference. So that's my last takeaway for this one. But we can, in the show notes, we can leave links to those books or the titles of the books in there. But other than that, you know, I appreciate y'all listening. Hopefully our pain is y'all's triumph.
Please learn like y'all, please. Like this is, we're telling our story so that we can be transparent. Like transparency, whenever you're building a business, is important because people that come behind you and they want to build a business similar to what you're doing, even if it's not what similar to what you're doing, but they're building a business, there's still a lot that we've gone through that could help. So take what you need out of this. And even if you don't need it, maybe someone else needs it, you know, spread the word, something, but we're here to help. And hopefully that y'all do and can and will learn through our pain.
And so to learn more about the sovereign banking system and how to use infinite banking, we are a licensed firm. We'll leave our website in the show notes. The website is sovereign-galaxy.com. And if you are on the Web3, you can put in sovereigngalaxy.crypto. And that'll take you to our site as well. We do accept payments in crypto as well for those who are looking to live that life with us, who are about that kind of action.
If you're not about the action yet, that don't mean that you can't join the family.
Oh yeah, because you know we accept fiat too, you know. as well as if you just want to support us too, we have shirts available on our site. As also too, if you would just want to learn some basics and you just want to even get down to just understanding how to budget, we have a budgeting course on there as well.
And you can book money management consultations with us if you just want like somebody that will go through with you step by step.
As well as you can see some of the free information that we got on our YouTube channel. If you're watching this, you're probably on our YouTube or on our Odyssey. So we'll leave links to the Odyssey, the YouTube. We're also on Audius. For those who don't know what Audius is, it's a blockchain-based streaming platform. And we get a lot of love out of Odyssey as well. I mean, Audius. And so we'll leave our link to our Audius as well.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Thanks for listening to another episode of Talking Married Life and Bank Trapping, and happy trapping.
Bye, y'all. Peace.